And welcome back to the Sundance Reel. I'm Leslie Thatcher, along with my co-host today, Beth Fratkin. In the studio with us now from the film Return to Homes, I have director Talal Derki and Orva Arabi. I'm sorry if I slaughtered those. Maybe you want to introduce yourself, Talal?
Yeah, I'm Talal Derki, the director of the film Return to Homes, as what you said.
Okay, and Orva, how do I say your
last name? I'm the film's producer. My name is Orva Neyrabiya. We've been so happy since yesterday, since we arrived. You have a beautiful city. It's lovely to be here.
Where's home
lovely
for you?
People. My home? Mm-hmm. My home is Damascus, the capital of Syria.
And you?
And I come from Homs, the city where the film takes place.
And that's also in Syria?
Yes, definitely.
All right. So tell us a little bit about the film and why you wanted to make it.
We start shooting in the beginning of the revolution, and the thing, the event happened in Syria in the middle of 2011. We decide to cover this big changing of part of the history and of the people after many. More than 40 years of dictatorship of Hafez Assad and his son Bashar. So we was there, and we decided to find a person that we can follow him, and we can find with his eyes, with his life, with his movement, the other face of the revolution, of the happening of what the war in Syria.
So, since it was filmed where you live, Orva, did you find the two characters in the documentary?
No, it was not me. It was Talal actually who found them. But of course, it meant a lot that it's my hometown. And then, as many would, it's I think a universal thing that my hometown. I left after high school to the capital, and then it took me years when I didn't like my hometown anymore at all. And then with the revolution and with Talal's project, it really kind of was a great reconciliation between me and my hometown. So I became proud of it again.
Mm. Yeah. So can you tell us about Basset?
About Basset, yeah.
Yeah, Basset.
This is exactly when I told Orva that I want to make film. About we was talking about making film, and we are old friends. So I told him I'm going to Homs to find my film, to find my people there. And he said, no, you are not from Homs. You don't know. You are Kurdish native, and it will be difficult for you. I told him, let's see. And when I was there and I met Osama, we was worked together as a camera activist in the time that the regime didn't allow any channel or any media to cover what happened in Syria. So we met Basset, we become friends, and since the first moment that we met, it was like challenge between me and him. He's the young guy who come from a different sort of interest. He's a football player, and I'm an artist, so bigger than him, more than 15 years. So it's it was great. We found common thing very,
he's
very quickly.
He's quite charismatic in this film.
He's very charismatic. You feel from the first moment you met him that this guy will never give up. He's the one.
That's part of how why I think this film is very important, because from afar to the rest of the world, all of the tragedy that's happening in our country, it seems to be so complicated, and everybody shies away because they don't understand what's happening. To us as filmmakers, I think we're similar to the audience everywhere in the world. We don't want to delve too much into the complexity of international proxies and all of the conspiracies of intelligence, whatever. What we need to see and to make and to focus on is human stories of people. And I think Basset is a universal character in this sense. God forbid this similar thing happens anywhere in the world, in the States or anywhere else. I do not wish it to anybody. But if that happens, you will see the emergence of young men and women like Basset and Osama, who will make a huge difference and become iconic to their society. And that's inspiring, I believe, to everybody around the world. And then when we see all of the war and such a charismatic young man who was a pacifist, a hardcore pacifist, and then at one moment he totally lost faith in pacifism and decided to fight. This is definitely not a story about Syria per se. It's a story that's quite universal in this sense. And comparing it to many hundreds and hundreds of feature films that we see from Hollywood or anywhere else in the world, I think it when you see a real hero in a film, in a documentary film, in a real dramatic story, you will see how fake the other heroes we've been watching are. It makes a huge difference when you see the eyes of a real hero really taking all the risk for real faith, you know, for the sake of protecting his own town or defending his own people.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about just that. I mean, like you say, Basat, just a soccer player, a singer, and his buddy, who is a little bit more of an activist. But, I mean, how is it that they just go from a soccer player to, you know, fighting for what they believe in? I mean, that's a big jump in terms of a person's character.
It's the power of publicity. So it's when you know that your country, your life, your future, it's become as a farm for somebody. You are just a slave. You don't have don't have future, or don't have. You just think that you need a change. Everybody needs change. It happened in Europe. It happened in America. Now it's our time. It's too much late, but it's to come late. It's better than not come at all. So when you find all the people in the street shouting for freedom, for dignity, for changing, and He finds because he's have he's aggressive a little bit, and he's have strong character. He believed that when he was also a football player, he was a bloody football player. This is what his coach told him, that you are bloody player. And since he was there, he asked, he take his T-shirt out, and he come up of his friend shoulders, and he start to shout. Listen, his first sentence he said, and it's on YouTube, you can find it. Listen, sniper, this is the head and this is the neck. This is a challenge that we will never stop until we take what we want.
One of the things I thought that was really enlightening to me is that the photography was so fantastic in this film, and it really gave me a sense of the absolute devastation of this town that I never felt so viscerally from watching the news. Can you talk about how he was able to get those shots towards the end, mostly I'm talking about?
Yeah, in the beginning it was, it was difficult to shooting there because of the many checkpoint, and the people, there are many spies around you, also in a place where there is demonstration, and so it was in the beginning we used this small handycam, HD cameras, Sony and different stuff. So this is very small camera. You can hide it in your pocket. You can hide it very easy, and cross all these checkpoints. So, and we work with a handicap camera without the tripod. And so it's everything starts from this style of mobile, this technology of mobile camera that people start to shoot a scene with a one shot. And this scene explains everything, and they start to upload it on the internet that everybody wants to see it. So this is very close to the reality. And from this path, we decide to continue in this direction, in this style of shooting. So we believe that we should be more closer than what people get used to see. When you decide to be more closer, enough time, enough passion, enough patience, you can find your moment that you believe that this is the dramatic, this is the time when it can explain everything. Yeah.
And we were at the end. Four persons shot the film, so one of them, the last one, who shot the parts, I believe you're referring to. But I mean, Kahtan, he's extremely courageous, and he was part of the crew there. You know, he was part of it's very close to Basit and the others when Osama was already detained by Assad's forces, and he was just there. So it's the camera work is not one of an outsider who goes to film. It's actually really so, what's the word to describe
very
it?
Intimate.
Grassroots, very really coming from inside that world.
Yeah, it's also a relation about the camera because of Osama, one character, he's in prison right now. It's one of his styles. So we are activated there.
He's in prison now?
He's still in prison, yeah. And we don't know anything about him. It is a very difficult
it's
situation.
It's been more than almost a year and a half now since he's abducted by the authorities.
And this is also from Osama laptop, from Osama camera, from Osama vision, from Osama eyes. We find our way to continue with this. Osama, me, Urwa, Kahtan, to be an eye, a vision of the people. For
need to wrap it up again. The film Return to Homs, it will have its Park City debut, Temple Theater tomorrow night. Also several screenings Monday at 3:30 at Redstone, back at the Temple on Thursday the 23rd, and at the Egyptian on Friday the 24th. Again, best of luck to you. Thank you for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you too.
The ABC 4 Weather Report comes to you live Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. after the NPR News. Brought to you by Albion Financial Group.
Placido Dressage at Tally Ho Farm has been a Park City equestrian venue since 1988 and a proud supporter of KPCW. Tally Ho Farm sits on 21 acres and includes year-round climate-controlled facilities for the equestrian enthusiast. Tally Ho Farm offers boarding, lessons, training, and access to miles of equestrian trails. 435-901-9778.